final hour, one more hour to go. NHL trading deadline, one more hour for us. The opponent for the Predators on Thursday night at Bridgestone Arena, it's the Calgary Flames. And they've been very active here in the last 5 minutes. They also have acquired Gustafson from Chicago.
Yeah, not seen what the return is yet, but that just coming down.
Now, that will be the key. Gustafson is a guy that brings something to the table in terms of trade value. He had 60 points last year, 17 goals and 43 assists. Hasn't been as good this year, but still a guy that has some talent. He's a late bloomer, and he is an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. And it didn't look like Chicago was going to be able to re-sign him. They still, as we've talked about for a long time now, they still have a lot of cap issues. So as we just said in the last segment, Calgary has got defense depth issues because of the injury to Mark Giordano. So they have acquired two guys, it appears. So what did they give up to get Derek Forbert and Eric Gustafson? Now, that's an all-in. You look at the Oilers and the Flames, think about the pressure just to make the playoffs for those two teams, the rivalry between those two. Those teams have been very aggressive at the trade deadline. Now, you can argue whether these moves are good for them long-term and whether those teams have a chance to win the cup, but they are going for it this year to make the playoffs.
Evidently, right? Vegas was hot to trot for Gustafson.
Vegas, I think, if you look, they've won six in a row now. They look like, to me, and I thought this the night that they came in and carved up the Predators, they look like the best team to me in the Pacific. To me, that's the team that has the best team in the Pacific. If they've got all their ducks in a row, that's a really good team. They've underachieved to this point, but they're starting to get it together at the right time.
I would agree with that. Now we'll find out if they can finish things off and win the Pacific.
Now, what does all this do to the thinking of David Poile? They've got a matchup with the Flames. They've got a matchup with the Oilers on this homestand, right? As we've said many times, the Predators' formula to get in the playoffs is to finish ahead of the Blackhawks, the Wild, and the Jets. The Blackhawks, I think, have declared they're out of it. Right, they're not. They have sagged. They're selling.
Mm-hmm.
The Wild are in an interesting position here. We'll see. They still have a legit shot, but I think in their heart they would like to be sellers.
Still nothing on the Islanders Wild trade.
That's one to keep your eye on. The Jets are an interesting one. I think they're on fumes. They've acquired a couple of guys, so they want to make the playoffs. Predators have to be better than them. And then there's that race, that five-team race in the Pacific. Nashville's got to finish ahead of one or two of those teams in order to make it. Arizona looks like they're standing pat. I don't think they're going to do anything. Their big move was earlier in the season to get Taylor Hall.
They're almost done.
Vancouver has made the moves.
Unless Arizona just goes on a massive, massive heater because of how many games they've played, they're almost done. Because
yeah, you never know, but
a lot of teams have 3, 4, 5 games in hand on them.
They're going to have to really have a strong finish. Vancouver has made the moves that they're going to make, right? They jumped out there early and made the move for Tyler Toffoli, so it looks like they're done. So now you've got less than an hour.
And this
does
is
David Poile do anything? Does he just stand pat and say, I've got a good enough team, let's see if this team can do it, or does he make a move one way or the other?
The Ben Harper deal on Saturday counted for pick six as a trade.
It does. It's a trade.
So this is the question I have. So did we all three say yes?
I did, yeah.
I know, I did. Okay, so we all three. But let me play the what-if game. What if that trade did not happen? And we're sitting here 53 minutes from the deadline. Does Rocco, would that have counted?
No, that's not a trade.
I just wanted to clarify. I didn't, because I didn't know if you said trade or make a move.
No, a trade.
Because the wording could have been tricky if you just said, will the Predators make a move?
Yeah, Rocco
doesn't
count.
No, I said a trade.
It's got to be a trade.
I couldn't remember if you were specific about trade.
David Poile has, I mean, we're in the last hour, so this is when things really heat up, and he's made moves right at 2 o'clock before.
Simmons came in after we were off the air.
Wayne Simmons was right at the end. Paul Gostad was right at the end or close to it, you know, several years back, and that was a first rounder. So
that was a first rounder and a fourth rounder.
Yeah,
came back to the Predators. You remember who that pick was?
Was that Arvidsson?
Nope, close. The Predators traded. They traded their first round pick. They got Paul Gostad and a fourth from the Sabres. So obviously we know Gostad, but the fourth was
this like 2012? When was this? 2012? So 2012.
He's on the roster right now.
Who'd you say?
I said Arvidsson.
Ekholm?
Nope.
On the roster.
This goes to show you that every draft pick can turn into something.
Colton Sissons?
Nope. Colton Sissons was a second round pick by the Predators.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
UC Saros.
Saros. Good. Wow, that's good.
Not a bad little throw-in pick there.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. Interesting.
And the first-round pick that the Sabres used that would have been the Predators' pick, Zemgus Girgensons. We're still playing for them.
There you go.
You just never know what those picks turn into down the road, right?
Yeah.
You just never know.
You know, I'm obviously watching Twitter. We all are about, you know, what happens. You know, what are they going to do, if anything? Mikael Granlund, they called it a maintenance day, so he did not practice today, neither did Pecorine. Look, if he doesn't make a move, it's not the end of the world. He has been very, very consistent in saying he likes his team. And things that we've talked about time and time again of – some of these guys that haven't been playing well, you know, if they can turn it on, this thing looks completely different. It goes back to if one of these teams that are fighting for a wild card spot can just separate themselves from the pack, and I believe the Predators have the talent to do it. They just have to put it all together. I know it's a huge if of getting, you know, those guys that we've brought up to get it going, but what if they do? It changes things. So he's going to do what's best to make this team be able to win right now. Now, with all that said, if somebody comes in at the last second and offers a first-round pick and a prospect or whatever for Mikael Granlund or Craig Smith, then you probably have to consider that. But
How big are these four home games?
Huge.
Ottawa tomorrow. Calgary on Thursday. Colorado, who they play three times on Saturday. And then Edmonton on Tuesday. I mean, that is going
to state the obvious.
Huge.
It doesn't matter the opponent. They're all huge at this point.
Well yeah, that's the thing. Like,
you know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't. It doesn't matter.
No question.
Like, the only thing they have to do is worry about themselves, take care of business, because we know about their games in hand. But as we've been saying all along, it's about to all catch up, by the way, because they're going to go in their heaviest month of the year. That's March. That's the most games they'll play in a month the entire year. And so everything's going to get caught up, but you have to make the most of that. I mean, you have to – games in hand are great, but to me, I know what you're saying. They're huge, but they're all huge. I mean, it's like you can't have the letdown of 100%. Ottawa tomorrow. Like, Ottawa has to be 2 points. It has to be.
Right, and there's pressure with that. You watch, teams like Ottawa are going to beat somebody. Right? You just got to make sure it's not you. Like, the Predators early in the year, they lost to Detroit. That was the very, very beginning of the season before Detroit knew just how bad they were. But looking back on it, like, they lost to Detroit. Like, they lost to the Ducks. Mm-hmm. You know, those ones sting. But I think when you have four home games where you're at home, you've been at home, you have rest, you have your routine, that's when you need to get your groove and play your best. There are times where the schedule, like, for example, late in the season, they have one of the most difficult back-to-backs, and it's a common back-to-back on the schedule in the West, Colorado-Arizona. The mountain desert back-to-back. Now, that's a tough back-to-back. I don't care how good your team is, and you give that the no excuses and all that stuff, but that's more difficult than playing Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Tuesday at home. this is an opportunity to get in the groove, play your best, get your fans going, get some momentum going in the season. It was a nice win on Saturday. It wasn't their best hockey. It was the back end of a back-to-back where they had gone to overtime the night before, but they still can play better. They know it, right?
Mike Vrabel was in the house for that game. Rex and Rob Ryan were in the house.
Jeff Fisher was in the house.
Yep. We're going to have Rocco Grimaldi coming up in just a few minutes.
And Rocco will be in the house on the other side of Darren, Donick, and Chase. ESPN 102.5 The Game. As we've been telling you for the last 3-plus hours, the Predators have made a deal. They have re-signed Rocco Grimaldi. 2 years, $4 million. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Rocco Grimaldi is on the line with us. Rocco, how you doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Great. How does this work? Are you in the building? You hear Rocco to David's office, please. Rocco to David Poyle's office. Like, how does that work? Your new deal.
They had talks for a week or so, and then last night it got done officially just by word of mouth, and then this morning before practice I went in. They brought me up to the office and I signed it with them in the room.
So how cool was that? I mean, I know we've kind of experienced this journey with you, and I remember when David Poyle came on this show and said, we've informed Rocco to buy a house here, and I was like, wow, that's cool. You know, you're getting rewarded. We've talked to you, and obviously you've backed it up with your play, but now you've kind of reached another level. What does it mean to you and your family?
It's really special for us. I mean, just the journey that I've had and the struggles that I've had to get here, the ups and the downs. I mean, just thinking about 2 years ago coming in as a guy who was going to be in Milwaukee and hope to get a call up, whether it was through injury or whatever the case. And to last year, you know, getting my first one-way, to this year getting my first contract that's more than 1 year in my career besides my entry-level deal. I think it's been 3 or 4 one-year deals in a row, so... it's really special for us. It's been a long time coming. It's been a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, a lot of hard work, and obviously had to fight through a lot of doubt to get here too. So it's been great to have family and friends who've been behind me the whole time to push me to keep the faith and keep moving on and keep getting better. And this is really rewarding for both, you know, for me and my family and for all of us.
Crazy story is you guys were beating Columbus here in an 8-round shootout, and we'll get to your game winner, but in Toronto, Carolina gets down to their emergency backup goaltender, which is a 42-year-old Zamboni driver there in Toronto. And it was cool to see his wife expressing her feelings throughout the course of that game. It was just interesting, like, how into it she was. And Ayers has been all over the place, obviously, since that win. And he was just talking about how he thought his wife was going to have a heart attack when they said, no, seriously, suit up and you're playing. Abby is your wife, and she is out there on social media, and she's filming your game-winning goal in a shootout. What kind of going back to the family thing, what is it like to have the support? And your wife is very vocal on social media, and, you know, and talking about your play and everything. What's that like?
I try to tell her not to embarrass me. but she's just excited. I mean, she's been with me and on really the hardest years of my life, you know, being in the minors, hoping for a call-up, never really getting the call-up, never getting a chance. We've had the tough conversations, and I'm just being honest, but a few years ago, we had tough conversations about if I have to keep grinding it out in the minors for another couple of years, I might not want to do this anymore. I might just move on and do something else. And whether that, you know, maybe I was just being crazy at the time, but those were conversations that I was having with her, and she knew the disappointment that I was feeling and just the questions that were going through my head. And so she's had to go through a lot. She's had to live through a lot of hotels with me. We've almost been married for 4 years now. We've moved probably between 12 and 14 different times, lived in 5 different states, and done a lot of hotels to one bedroom small apartments to moving here to moving there to packing our cars. And you know, people just see the glitz and the glamour of, you know, pro athlete's life, and you know, they think everything's awesome, but Sometimes they don't realize the struggles that you have to go through, not having a home, wondering where you're going to be, not knowing where you're going to live, just all these things. And she's had to go through a lot, put a lot of things on hold for us just because I'm not sure of where I was going to be or where we were going to live. But she's been quite the trooper, and it's just so fitting that, you know, for her being a musician, that we would end up in Nashville and, you know, things start going well for both of us right now. And it's just a blessing from God, honestly.
That's awesome. I mean, that is bringing the human element to that story. Very cool for you to put that out there for our listeners, because that is, you're right, that really puts everything in perspective. So with that being said, kind of getting back to what I initially asked, I mean, like, now to have this happen today because of that journey that you just chronicled to us, it just must make it feel even like a bigger deal than it already is, right? I mean, it's so much sweeter knowing what you just laid out, and now, you know, you get rewarded yet again.
Yeah, I was asked earlier today if it meant more going through all the struggles that I've gone through, if this meant more now because of those things, and I'd have to say 100% yes, because of course, if I was, you know, had to redo my life, you know, if I was 20 years old, I would want to say, heck no, I want to be in the NHL at 20 years old and, you know, not have to worry about the minors or any of that stuff. But now, 27, looking back at everything I've gone through, I would not trade my 4 or 5 years, whatever it was, in the minors for anything. I wouldn't trade the hard times. I wouldn't trade the hotels, because it's grown me as a person. And yeah, I've grown as a player too, but at the end of the day, what's more important, growing as a man or growing as a hockey player? We're not going to play this game forever. So I've grown stronger as a husband and as a son and as a friend. And I'm just grateful for all the struggles that I've gone through, because those are the things that build our character. And we've gone through a lot, and I just feel like it's made our marriage stronger, and it's made me a stronger person. And, you know, the way I look at difficulties now, I just remember all the times in the past and all the ways God has opened doors and shut different ones and really placed us where he wants us to be. And, you know, I'm grateful for the struggles, because I can relate to more people, because most people's lives aren't, you know, all easy and everything comes, you know, with no trouble to them. Most people have a hard life, and they're battling and grinding, fighting for their dreams. And just because I've been able to do that too, I can relate to more people and share my story that way.
Rocco, by the way, we're talking to Rocco Grimaldi. Nashville Predators signs a 2-year contract earlier today. Predators are back in action tomorrow against the Ottawa Senators. So, Rocco, let's go back to Saturday night. You get the call in the shootout. You know, if you score, you win. The place is going crazy. It was one of the more intense shootouts that I've seen. When you go back and forth, it wasn't like the goalies were stopping everything. Each team scored a couple. There was another time where Ryan Ellis had to score. It was very dramatic. So what goes through your mind when you step out there? Are you thinking about the scouting report of the goalie? Are you thinking, I'm just going to go with my best move? How do you arrive at the decision you make?
To be honest, I didn't know if I was going to get a chance or not. There's always a possibility, so I'm always trying to stay ready. I didn't really scout the goalie. I don't really like scouting the goalies, mostly because I feel like that will change something that you might be good at, just because you're trying to do something that they might not be the best at. I like sticking with what I'm good at and my strengths. So when I'm watching, I try to watch what our guys do. I try to just see, you know, how he moves and what I might do that I'm good at that might work. So it's funny, because most of the breakaways I've been on the last few years, I always have seemed to go forehand. And that's the first time I've gone backhand. But when I was watching them, I watched Joey and Turi and a couple guys who went up the left side, and they did the quick backhand forehand move. It looked like he pushed really hard. So I thought maybe if I could get him to push and then bring it back to my backhand, I was hoping to have, you know, hopefully an open net, but if not, at least have a little bit of space, because I know how good he is. I know how, you know, agile and flexible he was. So it was good that I was watching and paying attention, and it worked out, you know, just like I was hoping it did.
Rocco, you've been very honest when you've been in interview situations about the ups and downs of the team, and you've still got a great opportunity here. You got the big win on Saturday. You've got this 4-game homestand. Some things fell your way over the weekend here. Is there a sense, I know you guys have been searching for a long time to really get into that groove, but is there a belief in that room going forward here that the best is still yet to come? You know the potential is there.
I don't think we've had any other mindset, honestly. We've always believed that the group that we have is good enough to get it done. You know, we have a lot of good players. We just haven't been a good team for parts of the season. Sometimes things go great from October all the way through, and sometimes you got to wait till mid-January, and sometimes you got to wait till the end of the year. Sometimes you just don't gel, and we've had a lot of downs, it seems, this year. We've had ups and downs, but if you look at the playoff picture, we're 2 points out, and we got 2, 3, and 4 games on hand on the teams that we're chasing. So we're not in a bad spot. Honestly, I've said this before, but who cares if you're not in the playoff spot from games 1 to 81? Of course, we would love to be from game 1 all the way to game 82 in a playoff spot. It would obviously make our job easier and our hearts not be pounding as much, but at the end of the day, it only matters who's in the playoff spot after game 82. So we're going to do whatever we can to fight to make a playoff spot. You know, whether you're first place or you're just the last team to squeak in, it really doesn't matter, because once the playoffs start, everyone's at zero. Everyone's 0-0. Everyone starts fresh. It's a totally new season. It's a whole other ball game. We saw it last year. We won our division. Dallas came in, and they whooped us pretty good. Like, it doesn't really matter what place you're in. So we have a great group of guys. We have guys who have won cups. We have guys who have gone to cup finals. We have guys with experience. And there's 20 games left for us to band together and try to make something really, really special out of this season.
Talking to Rocco Grimaldi of the Nashville Predators, and, you know, Rocco, so much gets made this time of year with trades and, you know, guys that can be moved around to make teams better. But you guys got one back internally in Ryan Ellis the last couple games, and he's already made an impact. I know he's been around through the coaching change, but now having him back on the ice, how big has that been for you guys?
Well, it's huge for us. I mean, he's one of our best players, and he's good offensively, but he's obviously great defensively too. He's a leader in our locker room. He's a great player. You know, I'm sure it's not easy coming back from a concussion. It's not easy coming back after almost being 2 months out. And a lot of people forget and don't realize, but this was his first game under the new coach. I mean, that's new systems. That's a lot of different things going on in your mind. You're trying to think about systems. You're trying to think about your health. Like, there's a lot of things that was probably going through his mind. So for him to step in and play 2 great games is awesome for us. And I'm sure the more games he plays, the more comfortable he's going to get, the better he's going to feel physically and mentally. Yeah, he's going to have an even better touch and an awareness, because, you know, we've all had injuries, and we know sometimes coming back is not the easiest at first. So he's a big, big addition to our lineup. And, you know, hopefully going forward, we can continue to, like I said, band together as a group and do something special.
Now, we had Craig Smith on last week and asked him this question, but, you know, your line with Craig and Nick Bonino, coming up with a name, have you thought about that at all? Our listeners have given us some suggestions of naming your line, but you guys have had so much success, we kind of think it needs a name.
No, that's honestly not something that really goes through my mind very often.
We had a vote for Goodfellas, the movie, and Craig and others have said you're definitely Joe Pesci. So I don't know if you've seen Goodfellas. I don't know how you feel about that, but they have made you Joe Pesci as a part of that line.
I have seen Goodfellas. I'm obviously a good Italian boy, so I don't know if that's because of his size or because of his craziness, but I guess I'll take it.
We also
lay off Spider.
Yeah, layoff Spider. But what is it, Rocco, that has worked for you guys? And I've asked all three of you this question before, but it's been consistent all year. It hasn't been just in the last month or so. It's been a consistent thing throughout the season.
I think for a line to be consistent, you need 3 individuals to be consistent in their own game, not changing the type of game that they have or the type of role that they're supposed to play. And I think me and Smitty are decently similar with the way that we play, with our work ethic, the way we hunt pucks, the way we can skate, we use our speed, getting to the net, all that stuff. And then Bones is just so smart. He's so good defensively. Gives me and Smitty the time and space to get out of the zone, to I don't want to say cheat the offense, but sometimes to get out of the zone early, because we know Bones is there to back it up if something goes wrong. He's just so reliable, and he's obviously really good offensively too. I mean, I think both of them are tied for second in our team in goals. So it's been a lot of fun playing with those guys. We always have good conversations on the bench. We're talking about how we can get better. And, you know, we know if there's a game where we're not playing so hot, that we kind of talk about things and try to change what's going on. And it seems like we always kind of figure it out. I think there's only been like one game that I can think of that I'm not really extremely happy with how we play. Other than that, I think we've done a great job just about every game. I said it a lot, but I know what I'm getting out of those two guys. I know they're going to show up to compete. I know they're going to work. I know they're going to give their all. I don't have to question if, oh, is Bones or Smitty going to show up to play tonight? Like, I just know. And I think that they know the same about me in games, and it starts in practice too. I know that they're going to show up, and they know that I'm going to show up. When you have three guys that are on the same page like that and three guys that show up to work every single day, that can make for an extremely dangerous line.
Rocco, thanks for being a good fellow and joining us. Congratulations on your new deal, and we look forward to seeing you tomorrow at the arena.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
All right, that is Rocco Grimaldi, just rewarded with a new two-year deal worth $4 million, and he has earned it. Quite the story when he first showed up to training camp. I remember us talking about him, and now we sit today talking about a new two-year $4 million deal. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side, ESPN 102.5 The Game. There's been a deal, Pittsburgh and Buffalo. Let's talk about it. Willie, talk about a deal with Buffalo and Pittsburgh.
Well, Pittsburgh has reacquired a guy that was a good solid role player on their two recent Stanley Cup titles, Connor Sherry. They also pick up Evan Rodriguez, so two forwards in exchange for Dominic Cahoon, who has been traded a couple of times here recently.
Cahoon?
The big Kahuna burger. The big Cahoon.
We are too alike. Too much alike.
So Dominic Cahoon last year was on the Blackhawks. He went to the Penguins, and now he is headed to Buffalo. He's a talented player. And I always wonder how in the heck the Penguins have room to get all these guys in there. They do this every year. Jim Rutherford is one of the biggest wheelers and dealers out there. He does this every year. He's got his pieces. He's got the two megastars. He's got Malkin. He's got Crosby. A couple other guys you know are going to be there. And then it is musical chairs, just trying to find the right pieces to put around them to take another cup run.
What does it say that they got rid of Kessel and they've gotten better?
Are they better?
I think so.
We'll find out.
I mean, considering they had Crosby out for like 30 games to be in this position.
They did a remarkable job because Malkin was hurt for a long time early too. They've done a tremendous job.
Gensel was hurt. I mean, they've had the core guys out of the lineup
for
a while.
They just keep clicking, though. They have so many of those guys that it helps them keep clicking. That's interesting.
For the record, Joe Thornton is not going to Dallas, that tweet.
John Shannon.
Yep. As I said, I don't see.
You may have called that
Jumbo
one.
Joe playing for another uniform. Just don't see it.
I'm kind of relieved because
Joe
Thornton could help the Dallas Stars, I think.
I don't know. I mean,
on their power play. Their power play.
Yeah.
They're not a team that scores a lot. Dallas beats you with defense. But you give them a power play specialist like Thornton, that could swing playoff games. I think. I could see why they're interested in him.
I thought it was interesting, Rocco talking about his line, knowing that those guys come to play every game.
Yeah.
And just their communication and just, you know, knowing what you're going to get out of the two guys that you're playing with. And I don't know, that was interesting.
In theory, now there's still 20 minutes left. And as you guys said before, sometimes you don't hear about the trades and the details officially until after the deadline of 2 o'clock. But let's presume for just a moment that they don't make any trades among the forwards. Nick Bonino comes back in tomorrow. Who sits out? That's a tough decision for John Hines, right?
Mm-hmm.
Colin Blackwell played two really good games with Bonino going in. So what do they do, and where does Turris go? Does he stay with the framework of the lines from the last game, which worked reasonably well?
Well, let's talk about what John Hines did on Saturday, because we really haven't even addressed that.
I know. That's what we would be talking about had this not been the trade deadline day. He decided to say, listen, I'm putting work ethic, I'm putting an element of grind into all of my lines, And when you looked at the four lines, how they appeared in the warmups, the fourth line was Matt Duchene and
Victor Arvidsson.
Victor Arvidsson, mm-hmm. The fourth line. Now, it was more, I think it was more an even, hey, play well and you'll stay in there. Ryan Johansson's line started with Colin Blackwell and Austin Watson and scored a goal on the first shift of the game. So it worked reasonably well. But I think Hal Gill said this after the game. That's usually a change of pace to try to shoot a little energy through. It's not something that you're going to stay with long term. But in the short term, do you do it again tomorrow? You might. I don't know. They didn't play great, right? They played an excellent first period. After the first period, I'm thinking, okay, now this looks like something good. And then they come out in the second period and they get badly outplayed. And only a great play by Colton Sissons keeps them from going into the locker room down a goal.
They desperately needed that goal.
That was the biggest play of the game.
At the end of the second. Yep.
But I thought Colton Sissons on the line with Forsberg and Granlund, that was an excellent line.
Yeah, he told me in second period intermission, also a line that really, I mean, he has spent virtually no time with those guys at all.
But that was a very active Colton Sissons that I saw. That he looked really good. He's been due to break out. He's a good player that I think this year has, that the last couple of months, the injury has hurt him and he's been on the fourth line. That was a nice little revival for him, and I think it could springboard him into his best down the stretch. But we shall see.
What is the level of concern that John Hines has to keep cracking a whip?
Pretty high with me. I don't think he should have to do that
at this point. This has been going on for how many games now? I mean, what's the game count under John Hines to this point?
20.
20 games?
Yeah.
And he's still having to crack a whip? Does that concern people?
It concerns me because I think if the whip cracking had worked to this point, this team would be that team that had run away with it and taken off and I think be in a playoff spot.
But you're only cracking the whip on a certain number of the guys.
Sure.
And we know who they are.
Yep.
Right?
And that's the problem.
He said it. Like he's not singling out anybody, but he's been saying, listen, I'm trying to get the best out of them. He goes, I'm trying to make a statement, but I'm also trying to help them. Right? This is how he's trying to get the best out of them. And when every game is so important, like, he could play all kinds of games. Scotty Bowman was famous for this kind of stuff, always playing mind games with guys on his team. But it's easier when you're sitting there with 85 points and you're coasting into the playoffs. You know, right. It's just a matter of what seed you're at.
Right, I'm watching Miracle on Ice. It's one thing for Herb Brooks to be telling a bunch of college kids
right.
playing mind games with them, but we're not talking about that. To add, I guess, to my question, does it concern that you have to, because does it concern you if you have to tell your stars to go be stars?
Yeah. You shouldn't have to do that.
Well,
you have told them they are the stars because they put up the numbers that earned them the contract and they got rewarded with the contract. They shouldn't need any type of, you know, pushing from that standpoint. Go out and play like it. I mean, look.
But you shouldn't, but they are where they are, so he has to keep doing it.
Right.
It's a concern, but what choice? He has no choice. He's got to keep doing it. Right?
I am perplexed at all the fans that just cannot understand why, you know, a coach would do that. How do you think you're helping your team? So I would counter with, so you think what? His recourse is just to sit on his hands and do nothing? So what? You just think that John Hines is supposed to, you don't think that Peter Laviolette was going through the same stuff?
Well, I think that's part of the reason why Peter Laviolette's not here, because it wasn't being heard.
Exactly. So you want John Hines to do what? Nothing? You think that's... So the guy he replaced couldn't change it, and that's why he's replacing the guy, and you expect the new guy to come in and do nothing.
And he's,
that's your mindset. That's your game plan. Ready, break. Let's do nothing.
And
really?
he's done everything except scratch.
I don't understand that. I don't understand how the fans, and I realize it's not, I don't know if it's the majority or not. I think it's just the loudest ones, right? The ones that are constantly, I don't
the
understand how you can, yeah, right. That's probably the best way to put it. The loud minority of how can you, You know, how can you have this guy on that line and guy only playing 10 minutes? You know, how do you expect to win when they're your best players? Well, that's the point. You're missing the point. That's what the head coach is telling you. Yeah, they're supposed to be the best players. Key word, supposed to be. Being paid to be the best players. But there's a reason why he's doing it. Why would you question that? He's trying to maximize everything from everybody. What do you think? How do you think anything changes if you don't do anything?
Yeah.
So he's been there for 20 games now. One of the things that I think you can say after 20 games, what has he accomplished? He's still searching for how do you get the best play, get the best out of 92, 95, 33, 9, all of the top guys, right? It's a well-told story. Still working on that. What has he been able to do, even without Ryan Ellis for all but two of those games? The defense and the goaltending has gotten a lot better. Mm-hmm. Now, they have sacrificed some offense for defense. They have really stretched their goals, right? They're not scoring a whole lot right now. They've won they're 11-8-1.
Well, because
under John Hines.
Forsberg and guys we mentioned aren't scoring.
Right, but they were scoring before, but they were giving
it's
up.
Funny how that
see
works.
Example A. I mean, everything points back to the beginning part.
But it still wasn't right before that, right? They were scoring more, but they were giving up way more, right? So they've won 9 of the 11 games by one goal. They're finding ways to win close games.
Now, the one thing that hasn't changed is special teams.
Oh.
Not very much, no.
Really hasn't changed.
But
look at
how the goalies
about?
Are playing. Why do you always do this in the middle of somebody's
sentence?
Why, you
exactly.
start reacting
well,
to something that's
because
nothing to do.
It's a media. No, it is. It's a trade deadline. I'm sorry. It's a media outlet got burnt by the fake Twitter, and it involves the Predators.
Happens once a year.
Yeah. The fake Philadelphia Flyers said that they have acquired Roman Josi, and WIP. Reportedly.
Oh,
okay.
Boy. Well, I mean
that was the O.
Like that's nice. That's on you. If you bought that, that's on you.
That's on you.
Come on.
In a hockey town, you don't.
No.
You really thought they were going to trade Roman Josi to you?
Yeah.
Okay. But back to my point. Before I was interrupted by WIP.
Rudely by WIP.
Yeah. Imagine Philadelphia being rude.
Philadelphia. That's so they're such nice, friendly people.
But what have we said about Pekka Rinne and Juuse Saros? The numbers had to start coming around. Now, that is starting to happen here. Part of it is because they're being much more responsible defensively around them. I think you can build a good foundation on that. If you're looking for reasons to build on, that's a good one. You're giving yourselves a chance. You're getting the goaltending, playing good defense. Now you have Ryan Ellis back. As you mentioned, though, got to fix special teams. And then you got to get the most out of the best players. Those are big things. Those are big things.
Those are big things down the stretch of a season. Game 62 tomorrow night versus the Senators. We'll come back, wrap up Monday's edition of Darren Donick and Chase next. Don't forget, this Wednesday night, Smashville Live. Philip Forsberg, Callie Yarncroke. East Nashville. Willie, are you familiar with East Nashville?
I am.
I think you are because you'll be there with Hal Gill and Skillsy and Philip and Callie.
With Hal Gill and Skillsy. They're two people now?
Did I say that?
Yeah. You did.
Oh.
I mean, they are kind of two people.
Hal's got many personalities.
There's Hal Gill and there's Skillsy.
Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House. That's located at 1003 Russell Street.
5 points.
5 points area.
Lingo. You go to the 5 points area.
7 to 8. Get there early. Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. I'll tell you what, they are not sitting quietly in Raleigh, North Carolina. The Hurricanes excited over that big win in Toronto with an emergency backup goaltender. They are active, and they have struck another deal.
And we don't know what they've given up yet, but they have acquired Sammy Vatanen, who is a good, solid vet that's been around for a good while. But still, I mean, he's one of those guys who came into the league young, so he's got a lot of games under his belt, but he's not that old. That's a significant addition. That also leads me to believe that something is seriously wrong with Brett Pesce. I think, you know, that's because that's the second. Isn't that the second defenseman? Who else did they trade for earlier today?
Yeah, you're right. And I'm trying to figure out what they're getting back. A prospect, according to Bob McKenzie, going back to New Jersey.
That's all?
Well, that's part of it. I don't think that's all.
I would like to think. I would think that that's more than that. I think he would be more than one asset. Oh, they traded for Trocheck as well. But
Trocheck
from
Florida. Yeah.
They still have. Oh, Gustafson is supposedly going to the Flames, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So just the one defenseman. So that's what Carolina felt like they needed. Interesting pickup. That's a good team.
You know what I'm excited about? The fact that most of these trades are going to the East.
Yeah.
That's what excites me.
They also, Carolina has not made a move for a goalie, right? And so I guess they think that they're going to get one or both of their goalies back fairly soon after the crazy night in Toronto.
Yeah.
Been quiet there so far, mm-hmm. but we're still in the final minutes here. You never know. There's usually those handful of moves that come in right under the wire.
Yes or no? Chase, will something happen the minute we're off the air?
No.
Willie, yes or no?
I say no.
Yeah, it's a no. I think it's a
I've
no.
I've been wrong before.
So that means all three of us will be wrong.
I think it's a no. It's what I know. I know that it's a no. All right, that's going to do it for us. Good stuff. Appreciate Rocco Grimaldi for joining us this hour. Congratulations to him again on his new two-year, $4 million deal. Tomorrow we'll be over at Pete and Terry's Tavern in preparation for the game against Ottawa tomorrow night. They are at home to close out the month of February. Have a great rest of your Monday. We'll talk to you then at 10 a.m. Stay tuned. Jared and the GM, that's next. Closing time. Turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time. One last call for alcohol, so finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay home.